Amen. Remain standing for the reading of God's word this morning. And can we just thank our beautiful choir this morning? Amen. Today's reading, if you look at your bulletins, it's found in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, just one verse this morning. And it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. I want to read that one more time. The word of God says, to whom also he, that's Jesus, showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking unto them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And what stood out to me this morning as I thought about an old school verse I can use for an old school message, is the word of God says, after his passion. And church, this morning I want to preach on this simple subject, a passion that endures. Father, I pray humbly, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us this morning. Father, we thank you for the time of fellowship, communion, and worship you have allowed us, Lord, to have this morning. And Father, I just pray this morning as we open up your word, that you would just bring your presence to us, Lord, with conviction and truth. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me preach this word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may have a seat this morning as we get into this word, a passion that endures. You see, interesting enough, during this April month, during this season, we tend to now think about Easter. We tend to think about the resurrection of Christ. We focus on the victory that Jesus had over the cross. We see that sin was paid for, that Jesus himself would utter the words, "It is finished." And now through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, we now have a way to heaven and God the Father. Can we give God some praise for that this morning? God the Father now has access to us through Jesus Christ. And it's only this time in Easter we focus on the resurrection of Jesus. But church, I got to tell you this morning that there would never be a resurrection of Jesus had there not been first his death. Let me say that one more time. There would never have been a resurrection if there never had been his death. Because you cannot revive what it is not dead. So the Bible shows us that Jesus would die on that cross. And on that cross, we know that Jesus, his very beard would be ripped off and he would be whipped with a cat of nine tails. We know that the nails would pierce his hands and his feet. We know that they would place a crown of thorns on his head. We know that he would utter the words, "My Father, why have you forsaken me?" We know that Judas would betray him. We know that his disciples, all but John, would scatter and leave him behind. We know that the crowd will hurl insults at him and just mock him and reject him and spit on him. We have all of this imagery on that Friday that Jesus was on the cross. We have this image and this description of his death. But what's interesting in the Bible is that the Word of God says that all of this that took place on that Friday, the death of Jesus on the cross before the resurrection, the Bible says and refers to that as his passion. The Bible says in Acts 1:3, after his passion. And this stood out to me because how can you describe that as a passion? But see, the word passion there in the Greek is the word passio, which literally means a deep love. Listen, church, a deep love that would cause someone to endure suffering. So when you see the suffering of Jesus, When you see Him on the cross, when you see the nails, when you see the beating, when you see the mocking, when you see everything Jesus endured, the Bible says that He would endure that out of love for you and out of love for me, out of love for this world, out of love for sinners. Can we give Him praise in the house this morning for that? It was love. It was passion that Christ endured the suffering. Passion is what drives us to endure suffering, to endure pain, to endure rejection. You gotta have passion, church, to go through the hardest times of your life. You have to have a passion to endure pain. You have to have passion to have discipline. You need to have passion to endure the trials. You need to have passion to keep going. Can I get a witness this morning? You need passion. It's passion. I thought about a man by the name of James Dyson. We all know his famous vacuum. And it's a $4.5 billion industry that he created. And it's easy to look at the success of James. It's easy to look at the billions of dollars he's made. But what people don't understand is that Mr. Dyson went through 5,126 vacuum failures before he got the right one. It was passion that drove him not to give up. I thought about Thomas Edison, and his own teacher said he was too stupid to do anything in his life. But it was passion that would cause him to ignore those stupid words and keep pursuing his patents and his inventions until he found electricity and created the light bulb. I thought about Walt Disney, who was fired from a newspaper because the editor said that he lacked imagination. But it was passion that got him to reject those words and keep drawing until he created and imagined a mouse that we thank God for in Florida, don't we? It was passion. It was passion that would lead a man like Michael Jordan, who was skinny, 5'7", mocked, and rejected from the varsity team. Michael Jordan said that he had 26 failed game-winning shots. He would lose over 300 games, real important games. But it was passion that kept him practicing. It was passion that kept him going. And folks, I want to tell you this morning, there is no greater example than passion than Jesus Christ. Amen. Because it was passion that the Bible says got him to endure the cross. So while Jesus was on that cross and he was in pain and suffering, the forsaking of God the Father, it was a love for us that kept him going. And even when the thief on the cross looked at Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, get yourself out of here and save yourself. Jesus is the Son of God. He could have gotten himself off the cross. He could have uttered one word and all the angels of the heavens would have come down on earth and wiped everyone dead. He could have thought about himself and his own needs and stepped out of that cross. But it was passion that kept him there because he loves you. It was passion that got him to stay. Take it and enjoy it, no matter what the pain and the price. It was passion. It was passion. A passion that endured. You might say, well, Pastor, that was Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's perfect. But you don't know what I have to endure. in my life. You don't know what I have to endure Monday through Friday at work. You don't know what I have to endure when I get home. You don't know who I have to endure. You don't know what I have to endure. You don't know what I've endured in my life. It's easy to stand there and talk about Jesus and passion, but you don't know my life, but I may not know your life this morning, but I know Jesus has given us an example. In fact, look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Everyone say weight. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking onto who? Looking on to Jesus. That word looking on to is literally describing an example. Look at the example of Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, as he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, it's hard to endure and it's hard to have passion, the Bible says, look unto Jesus, and describes our lives as a race, and not a rat race like the world, to just get up and work, and get, so you can be the best. That is not what Jesus died for. Jesus says you won this race so that in the end, you sit with God the Father in heaven in glory. He described it as a race. Why did Paul describe life as a race? Especially, he said, lay aside every weight and sin that entangles us. It's because the race that Paul was talking about was the race that many Romans ran. And this was not an ordinary race where you just, like today, the kids that we have, and they want I can't even say it because it's so lame, participation ribbon. How many of you got those back in the day, the old school days? We did, I don't know. That's just a ribbon for losers. That's what the Bible does. But that's not that type of race. That's not what they told him. He said, well, this is not that type of race. This was a race that when you won, you got the crown. But if you lost, you died. Folks, if you and I were on that race and you were next to me and I knew if I lost, I was going to die, you and I would not be friends. They make sure that I do everything to trip you up. And that's why Paul said, when you run the race, you run with endurance. And don't let yourself be weighed down and entangled by sin. Because when the athletes would get ready to run this race, knowing what was at the line, knowing it meant their death, the athletes would actually strip everything off to the point of being naked because they wanted nothing to weigh them down. They wanted nothing to hold them back. And the Bible says, do not let sin entangle you because and trip you up. Because as the athletes ran this race, it was so easy for them to be tripped up by other people trying to trip on them, trying to cause them to fall. It was easy for the crowd to hurl insults and trying to distract them so that they would lose. But the athlete knew what was on the line, and he ran the race with endurance. Even though they were tired, even though they were beat up and being punched and tripped on, even though they had so much they had to let go, they would run with endurance and with a passion because they knew that what was in front of them was worth it. So when the Bible says to run this race in this life, He is calling Christians to run a race, and our faith should be that of passion for the Lord, where we're living this life and we're not being weighed down by anything. We're not being entangled by anything, tripped up by anything, but we're running this race with such endurance because we know at the finish line, we're going to stand with Jesus Christ in victory. And I want to ask you this morning, church, are you running a race in this life with passion? Because it would make no sense for you to be in a race and just go in circles and slow and I'm tired and complaining and I don't like this race and I don't want to be in this race. And so many people in this life are not running with passion. The athletes would run with a passion because they knew the cost. So they would run when they were tired. They would run when someone tried to trip them. They would run even when they were ashamed and completely naked. They would run with passion. And church, I want to ask you this morning, what weighs you down that keeps you from passionately serving the Lord? Jesus gives us, the Bible says, an example of enduring the cross. In fact, Jesus gave us a secret. For anyone that says, my life is too hard, my pain is too much, my problems are too big, and I feel weighed down, I feel tripped up, I feel entangled, and I don't think I can finish this race. Jesus tells us how he did it. The Bible says he despised the shame. The Bible says in Hebrews he despised the shame. And when you think about what does it mean to despise the shame, that word despise in the Greek is the word kataproneo. It literally means to think little of something to the point of discarding it. Church, listen what Jesus is saying and how he endured the cross. And when I read that, I said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me while Jesus was on that cross, he thought very little of everything that was happening to him? He thought very little of the nails that pierced his skin and discarded it? Yes. He thought very little of the people hurling insults at him? Yes. He thought very little of Judas, one of his best friends, betraying him? Yes. He thought very little when they whipped him 39 times? Yes. He thought very little when rejected, when mocked, when tired, when thirsty, when bleeding, when in pain. The Bible says he despised the shame. He thought very little of it. And this is what Jesus is trying to teach us. How do you endure? How do you remain with a passion that endures through pain and suffering? The Bible says Jesus fought it away. You see, passion, church, is not a feeling. We think it is. But see, if passion is a feeling and an emotion, Jesus would not have endured. But see, passion, the Bible says, it's a mind and it's a thought pattern. It's a mindset. It's not about how you feel. It's how you think. And so many of us, we fail in the race. And we don't finish what we started. And we don't finish what God places in front of us. And we complain and we fail. Why? Because we run the race with emotion. And if you're tired, you stay home and don't go to church. And if you're angry, you're going to say what you want to say. And you're only feeling it. And I don't feel this, and I don't feel that, and I feel this. Your feelings don't matter. If you want a passion that endures in life, in your family, at home, in your marriage, with your relationship with Jesus, that passion should be driven by a mindset where you have made up your mind that you will serve Jesus no matter what life throws at you. So like Jesus, you're on that cross and you're going through rejection, you're going through pain, you're going through isolation and loneliness, you're going through it. But see, Jesus, every time the thoughts would come of what he was going through, he would think it away. How? Because the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. Notice what Jesus did. He thought very little of everything going around him, even though it was a lot, because he was thinking of the finish line. The joy set before him was you and I being born again and saved. The joy set before us was you and I having eternal life with God the Father in heaven. So Jesus did not put his emotions on the moment. Because if Jesus would have put his feelings on the moment, we'd all be crucified and dead and going to hell. But Jesus put his mind on the finish line of what's going to happen after this. Because God works all things for good for those who love him. And he's going to work something out. And in the end, I'm going to finish strong. And God's going to get the glory. I'm not going to look at what I'm going through now. I'm not going to hear what everyone says. I'm not going to focus on the nails. I'm not going to focus on the betrayal. I'm not going to focus on the 3 years of ministry and everyone. Was rejecting me. I'm going to focus on the finish line. If you would focus more on the finish line and what God is going to do, you can survive what God has put you through right now. It's not an emotion. It's a mindset that you make up your mind that you're going to passionately serve the Lord with all of your heart. Yeah. It's a mindset. And Jesus thought it away. And when I think about Jesus thinking away and discarding everything he went through, it makes me feel like a wimp. Why? Because there's things in my life, and I'm sure there's things in your life that are hard for you to discard. Amen? Some of you still talk about what someone said to you back in the 90s, back in the vintage days. Well, I can't let it go. I can't forgive. I can't move on. And it's no wonder it weighs you down and you're failing to win the race. And today we have so many. You know why I wanted to do a vintage service? Because I think the church today is weak. And we get our feelings hurt. And we're quick to just criticize and complain and write negative comments and emails and this and that. But see, the old church endured. But so many of us, we go through things that Jesus is saying, when are you just going to think that away? When are you going to just discard everything in your past, everything someone did, everything you've gone through, the pain, the suffering? When are you going to despise that and reject it, knowing that in the end, I'm going to do something glorious? Am I preaching truth this morning, church? Jesus teaches us how to have a passion that endures. It's a mindset. You see, life is a race. And Jesus didn't put us in this race to lose, to give up because something weighed you down or entangled you, or you got tripped up by somebody. Jesus says you run this race well. When you run this race in life, you'll never make it to the finish line without passion. You need a passion that endures. And passion can only endure if it's a mindset, not an emotion. You run this race when you're married, you run with a partner. You're husband and wife. You run together. Things are going to weigh you down. Things are going to trip you up. But it's passion where both husband and wife do not just go by emotion and feeling. It's a mindset to make a marriage last. Amen, church? I was just so caught off guard on Wednesday how many married people. I saw Dennison. I saw my parents. I saw Jerry. And they're like, they're quoting double digits. I'm like, man, I'm a rookie. I'm nobody. But see, these couples today can be married double digits because they know the secret. It's a mindset, not a feeling. Can I get a witness, all married people? It's a mindset. You've made up your mind. You've made vows. This is my man. This is my woman. We're going to go through it. But see, marriages today are failing because we think passion is an emotion and the passion is gone. The passion is never gone when the passion is a mindset. Parents, you run this race with your children. And they're going to be saying, are we there yet? Are we in the finish line yet? But see, as parents, you are responsible that when you are long gone from this earth, those kids are still running well, are still running with Jesus. And it takes passion to raise godly children in this world today. It is a mindset where you have made up your mind that in this house we will serve the Lord and I will raise my children the way God tells me, not the way the world tells me, not the way TikTok tells me. I'm going to raise my daughter in the Word of God. So let that boyfriend knock at my door. I am raising this little girl, and I am raising along with my brothers and nephews and that children ministry. They are running the race right now. Yeah. It's a mindset to have passion to raise children. It's a mindset when the Lord gives you a dream and a vision for your life. And the emotions are going to switch on you. And you're going to get tired. You're going to be angry. You're going to be discouraged. But when passion is a mindset, like Jesus says, you can think that all the way and make up your mind saying, I'm going to pursue the vision and the dream God has given me. Jesus said the joy set before him. You can never get to the finish line of joy if you give up in the journey of hurt and failure and tired. The Word of God says sorrow may last the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Don't let what you're going through at night keep you from what God is getting ready to do the next morning. There is joy coming in your future. There is a joy that is unspeakable. There is a joy that God's going to get the glory. But you have to have the passion to keep running, to keep pursuing, to keep following Christ, even if the journey is hard. Today, so many of us, we lose passion. We get entangled. The Bible says, don't let sin entangle you. It was so common for people in the crowd to throw things at your feet to get it all wrapped up and get you to fall down. And then the devil sees us running this race the best we can with passion. He's going to try to throw sin at you to entangle you. It's amazing the sin that's in the church today. And we wonder why the passion is gone. We get weighed down. The athletes would purposely strip everything off to win this race. But today there are many Christians, or so-called Christians, that don't want to sacrifice or let anything go because they like it. And there are many things that are going to weigh you down and keep you from where God wants you to be. And if you are wanting what God wants for your life, you better get ready to strip some things off. You got to let go of some people. You need to let go of some habits. You need to let go of some things you like to serve the Lord with passion. It takes passion. But today we don't see that. We don't finish. We don't endure. I don't see so many Christians in the church living victoriously. Because in the midst of suffering, we lose our passion. Our thoughts change. Our thoughts get us discouraged, afraid, worried, upset. So we have a lot of people in today's world in the race, but not running it well. Let me say it again. You're in the race, but you're not running well with passion. And you know what happens when you're in a race and not running well with passion? You're just going through emotion. And I wonder this morning, how many of you are in this church because you're just going through the motions? It's just what you do at Sunday. And you're going through the motions at home. You're going through the motions in your marriage. You're just going through the motions with your kids. You see, I believe there is nowhere where we are seeing today passion vanish like in the church. You want to talk about a vintage church? We think about the reading of scripture that Sharon opened up with. I didn't even tell her to open up with that verse. That's God. But the old school church is found in Acts chapter 2. And these were a bunch of people that got saved. And the Bible says when these people got saved, boy, it was radical. They didn't just get saved and go to church when they wanted to. They didn't get saved and go to church because there was a potluck. The Bible says that when these people got saved, they were devoted to the teachings of God, to the fellowship with believers, and the communion and the breaking of bread. And the Bible says they met daily. Every day they met together and fellowshiped. Every day they devoted themselves to the Word of God. Every day they took communion. Every day the Bible says they sold everything they had to give to anyone that was in need, because there was such a passion to reach the lost. There was such a passion to be in the Word of the Lord. There was such a passion to be with other like-minded believers. There was such a passion for the Holy Spirit and His fire that it's no wonder during Pentecost the Holy Spirit descended like fire, because there was a passion and the Holy Spirit was matching the atmosphere, and He saw the people that were on fire for Jesus, and the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to come down as fire because those people are on fire. And the Holy Spirit ascended upon everybody. And the Bible says they all had the same things in common. It wasn't that they got along because, hey, he likes fishing and they like to shop and we have so much in common. The common ground was Jesus. It was just Jesus. And Jesus was enough to get them to give everything up for the lost. Jesus was enough for the people to spend days and days and hours in the Word. Jesus was enough to get them to fellowship together and give their lives for one another. Jesus was enough for them to pursue Jesus in this race with passion. With passion. And with passion, they endured the persecution of the church. As many of the Christians were being beheaded and set on fire to be used as lamps in the night city, nighttime life. And as all of them lost their homes and their jobs and were being crucified and murdered. Yes, they were discouraged. Yes, they had doubts. Yes, they were afraid. But they continued to serve Jesus because passion was in their minds, not in their feelings. And when you had a father and mother that lost their kids because of their faith, their passion kept them serving Jesus. And when you had someone that their homes burned down, their passion kept them following Jesus. Today, the passion for Jesus in the church is gone. It's fading. Today in the church, it's not Jesus that draws people. It's entertainment. We got to figure out a way to be relevant and funny and entertain people to get them in. And then to keep them in, we need programs and events. And we need all these things and glamour to bring people in and keep them in. And God forbid, if they get mad, they're out. But see, the old school church said, all I need is Jesus. And church, I'm going to tell you, if there's a Bible-believing, Christ-fearing church with a pastor that preaches the word, that should be enough for you. That should be enough. But sadly, passion is drifting away. Why do we lose passion? Why do we let our minds shift to other things but God? Why do other passions take over? And why do we grow cold for the love of God? Because the Word of God says in the end times, the love of many will grow cold. And I meet so many cold people nowadays, don't you? Cold. Why do we lose passion? It's simple. Because we no longer see the value. That's all the devil has to do. You no longer see the value, so you take it for granted. You mishandle it. And you discard it. The devil's clever, smarter than you and I. Not smarter than God. Not smarter than Jesus. But the devil's smarter than us. And the devil knows in order to keep passion like Jesus on the cross, to endure, it's a mindset. That's why Peter said, be sober-minded, because the devil, he roams around like a lion looking for someone to devour. Peter said, there's a devil out there. You better start thinking right. Why did he say that? Because the devil's smart. The devil knows that Jesus finished the race and endured with passion because he despised the shame. He thought away. It was his mindset. And Jesus discarded everything that was going on as little compared to the greatness that God was going to bring. So the devil says, okay, all I got to do in the church now is get people to despise Jesus. And you might be here in church, now you listen, you might be saying, well, pastor, I disagree with you there. I don't despise Jesus. I don't despise the church. I don't despise the word. You might not think it, but let me tell you, the word despiser, remember what it meant? To think very little of. To almost discard it. And I wonder in your personal life, can we get personal this morning? How many of the things of God, I'm talking church, the Bible, Bible study, fellowship with other believers. I'm talking about walking with the Lord in the morning, spending time with Him in prayer, devotional fasting. I'm talking about all of that. How many of those things that are going to get you closer to God do you think little of? Do I got your attention now? Your mind goes to other things. You think very little of the Word of God, but you think so much and so highly of sports. And the same man that's as quiet as a mouse in church with a cold face is a man that has his face painted in the Super Bowl or in the football going, yeah, going crazy. Why? Because passion is transferred. The same person you got to pull his teeth to come to church is a person that will wake up at 3 a.m., get a workout and go to work, do this and do that, come back home and clean the house and do anything. Why? Because the passion is transferred. Passion. The devil says, all I got to get them to do is think little, devalue the things of God. And before you know it, they won't finish the race well. Let me give you an example. I thought about this woman, an old lady, an elderly woman that lived her life in poverty. She had two kids. It's a true story. She struggled every day to put food on the table. And she would sweep to get spare change and do everything she could. But for her entire life, she struggled to raise her kids and put food on the table. One day she was at the beach collecting rocks with the kids. And she got this beautiful rock that she found, and she brought it home. And I got a picture of the rock right here. This is it right here. That's an ugly thing, ain't it? But she got that rock and used it as a doorstop. She used this rock as a doorstop in 1991. And she died just 2 years ago. And one of her relatives got that rock. He always saw that rock, the doorstop. And it made him think about the times he would go over. And all he wanted when she died was that rock that happened to be a rare amber stone worth over $7.5 million. She never knew what she had and died in poverty. And the Bible says that Jesus is our treasure, amen? But how many of us don't know what we have? What's interesting about this elderly woman is that they said that twice her house was broken into because they were looking for jewelry. And these thieves walked right by the $7.5 million stone. Because they didn't notice what was right in front of them. They never saw the value of what they had. And she died in poverty. When God allowed her to have it right there in front of her. But she never saw the value. So she's treated something so valuable as a doorstop. And that might shock you. But I'm afraid this is what we do to Jesus. There is nothing more valuable than your salvation and your relationship with Christ. And yet we see this and we devalue it because we put value on other things that aren't valuable. And we devalue the church. We devalue the Word of God. We devalue worship and prayer. And we don't treat it the way we should treat it, with awe and reverence and respect. And Jesus is the most valuable relationship you'll ever have. And yet we treat it like nothing. The church is one of the greatest gifts God has ever given us in this world. And yet we treat it like whatever. Because we don't see the value of what we had. And I just imagine that old lady talking to God saying, why did you make my life so hard? And God saying, didn't you see? I gave you $7.5 million. But you walked right by. And every day the Holy Spirit says, Come spend time with me and you walk right by. Come and pray and you just don't. Wake up, come to church. Now I'm tired. Come on, give, serve. I can do better things with my time. Let me close with Psalm 119:18. You all blessed this morning? Yeah. Psalm 119:18. The word of God says, open thy my eyes. Open thou my eyes. Open my eyes. Say that with me. Open my eyes. That I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. And I read this a few days ago and I said, Lord, this is a prayer that I and everyone here needs to pray. Open my eyes to your wondrous things. Open my eyes to your wondrous things. The word wonder is the things that are awestruck, valuable. And David says, Lord, would you open my eyes to see the valley? You see, because here's the warning. If we're not careful, we can blind ourselves to the wondrous things God has given right in front of you and treat it like a doorstop. Precious things that God says, I've given you this, but look how you treat it. And we need to pray and say, Lord, open my eyes to see the value that's right in front of me so that I can pursue it with passion. Because if that lady would have known the value of what that rock was, she would not have treated it the way she did. And I'm afraid, church, that we have devalued the Lord and His church, and we don't treat it the way it should be treated. And we put more value in things like the world and the ungodly things and entertainment. And we put a blind eye to the things God has given us as valuable. When I read that article, it said how her life would have changed if she only knew the worth. How her life would have changed if she only knew the worth. And I wonder how many things God has given you of great value that you treat like a doorstop. Maybe you treat the Bible like a doorstop. You just have it there, to thou at home. Don't pick it up. Don't read it. You're too busy. I would just hear it at church. And speaking of church, you just don't treat it like you should. We don't treat it with reverence, respect, and love. We say things like, I think I'll go today. I think I'll give. Maybe I won't. I think I'll serve in that ministry. I'm not sure. When is this over? I have lunch. I got things to do. And God says, don't you know the value of what's in front of you? The value of what's next to you? Look next to you right now. This is the church all around you. We are the church. We're all different. We're all diverse. But you understand the blessing of having a church to call home? Don't treat it like a doorstop. If you're married, would you look at your wife right now? Would you look at your husband right now? Say, yeah, that's a doorstop, all right. No. Because the Bible says that wives are a treasure from the Lord. How have you been treating your wife lately? The Bible says, help me, Lord, to see your wondrous things. You want to see something wondrous that you wonder how it's even possible? Every morning you wake up next to that man or next to that woman you call your spouse, and you better wonder, how are they with you? because it is a blessing from God. Amen. So you speak valuable words to them. You treat them in a valuable manner because you know that what you have is precious and it's a gift from God. When you have children, you treat it like valuable. You don't just discard it. You don't think little of. You don't let the devil trick you that way and let the entertainment raise them and the school raise them and their friends raise them and TikTok and Instagram raise them. You have the value, most precious, valuable thing God's ever given is His Son Jesus. And next to that is the family. Treat it for what it is and have a passion, church. To value. Why did Jesus endure the cross? Because He saw the value in you. You thought you were worthless? You thought you meant nothing because of your past, your sins, your failures? But on that cross, Jesus despised the shame. He thought all of that away and looked on you and saw for the joy set before Him. He saw all of us here that are born again and said, there are so much value. They're so valuable. I'm going to stay on this cross. Titus 2, 11 through 13. Let's all stand to our feet to close. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Come on, give Him praise for that right now. It teaches us, listen, it teaches us to say no to the ungodliness and worldly what? Passions. And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly. You will either have a passion for God or you will have a passion for the ungodly and worldliness. But you cannot have a passion for both when you're saved. That's what that word says. That Jesus died and saved all men. And when you are saved, you die to the passions of this world. And maybe I'm here this morning preaching to you. Because you need to get born again and saved and die to the passion of this world. And have a newfound passion for Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and that's you, I invite you this morning to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. And I'm going to lead you in a moment in a prayer at this altar to do that. But maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I am saved, I am born again. But I've lost my passion for the Lord. If you've lost your passion for the Lord, it's because your passion has been placed on something else. Revelations 2, 4 through 5, there was a church that lost passion. God said, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. And if that's you, Jesus says it clearly here. Just remember the height from which you've fallen. Just remember, consider how far you've fallen. Today, that might be your prayer. Just think about how far you've fallen from God. His word, His presence. How ungodly you're living, how worldly. And He says, repent. That word repent literally means to have a change of mind that causes you to turn. So if your mind has other passions today, you can change and be renewed through your mind. Repent. How do I get that passion back? Jesus made it so easy. Do the things you did at first. Say that with me. Do the things you did at first. One more time. Do the things you did at first. Even if you don't feel it, because passion is not an emotion. You just got to do it and keep doing it until the love comes back. Would you bow your heads with me today? As Frankie closes one more time with a song of worship, I invite anyone here today that wants to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of their life. He values you. And on that cross, He endured for you. Because it is only through Jesus that we are born again and saved. And today I invite you to this altar to receive Jesus Christ as a free gift. But if you're here this morning, God bless you. God bless you. Come on, give it up for these men today. And if you're here this morning, and you're saying, Pastor, I've lost my passion. And I know I'm saved, but my passion isn't there. Would you confess that? Come to the altar, leave all that behind, and just get your passion back when you come to this altar today. If there's a lack of passion at home for your family, for your wife, for your children, for life, if you're just going through the motion and saying, Pastor, I just need passion back, come on, you come forward today. And pray for the Lord to open up your eyes to see the wondrous things in front of you. And pray that the Lord revive your passion for Him, for church, for life, for your family, for your spouse. And let's all pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for those that want to surrender their lives to you today. If that's you this morning, would you pray this from your heart? Just say, Lord Jesus, I ask you, Lord, today to forgive me of my sins. As I repent and turn to you, I pray that you become the Savior of my life. And give me a passion to serve you and run this race well. As I make you the Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for those here today that have lost a passion for you, Lord, for life. I pray that you would renew their minds and help them, Lord, to see the value of everything in front of them, to see the value of life. And marriage and children and the church and the word. And help us to pursue it all with great passion to finish this race well. In the name of Jesus, and God's church said, amen. Come on, give them some praise this morning. Amen, amen. You guys can have a seat today this morning. As we make our ways back to our seat, I want to thank you all for joining us this morning. For our church service, you have, how many were blessed by today's church service? It was a great time today. Come on. And I pray that today you adhere to the word of God and say, Lord, just give me a passion this week. Give me a passion for the rest of my life that endures. That you would renew my mind and help me to despise the shame when the devil tries to stop me. Amen.